Welcome to Vacation Rentals with John, the podcast that empowers you to manage and grow your own vacation rental with quick 10 to 15 minute episodes packed with actionable content you can use right away. Hey guys, welcome back to Vacation Rentals with John. I'm your host, John Andrew, and today we're talking about something every host needs to hear. Pricing in 2025. It's just not what it used to be. And if you've been wondering why your calendar has more holes than Swiss cheese, or why bookings just aren't coming like they used to, this episode's for you. So let's dive in. Let's start with the big elephant in the room. Nightly rates are down in most markets. What you used to charge $350 for on a weekend in 2021 now might be lucky to book at $200 or not book at all. So let's face it, the industry's changed and there's way more supply. New host, new units, institutional players, and a whole lot of competition. And guests are waiting until the last possible minute to book. Lead times are shorter than ever. People actually used to plan 30, 60, 90 days out, even a year in advance. Now many guests are booking 2 to 5 days before check-in. They know they're going to get a sweet deal if they wait, so why book in advance at a more expensive price when you could just wait, see when the calendars are empty, and get the best deal of your life? That's similar to what happened with the cruise tickets. When cruise tickets don't sell, they sell them at rock bottom rates. That's what's going on with our industry now. And it's to the detriment of our own businesses and nightly rates. Now let's talk about those pesky orphan gaps, one or two nights between longer stays that are just sitting empty. In today's market, you've got to run aggressive last minute promotions for those. To explain this concept, it's when you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday booked, maybe even Monday, but then Tuesday and Wednesday are empty. When you do that over the course of 4 weeks, your month will look incredibly empty. It will be 50% occupancy or less if you're just booking two nights on the weekends. It's going to be really bad. So in today's market, you need those aggressive last minute promotions to fill in those orphan gaps. So don't be afraid to drop the price just for those specific gaps. Think about it this way. $100 for one night is better than $0. And occupancy pays the bills. It's not wishful thinking. You need those short stays. People are taking 2 to 3 night trips now instead of full weeks. That's just the state of the market. Before, a lot of us hosts wanted only 7-night guests or 5-night guests at premium rates. Well, we could afford to be picky at that time. Supply wasn't what it is now. Now, if we do that, we'll be in the poorhouse because you'll stay empty if your price is too high or your minimum nights is too high. You're just not going to fill up your calendar like people who are being more aggressive. So to fill those orphan gaps in those weekdays, you need to fill them with short stays. You need to get aggressive with the promotions and try to leverage some of this new technology that helps you do this automatically. As long as you set the parameters, it will actually work. If you're a new host or you've been doing this for a while and wondering why your calendar's not filling up, I suggest focus on occupancy first and then slowly raise your average nightly rate with value. That's the play. Focus on occupancy work first because you need to build a review base. If you don't have the review base, you can't really justify a higher nightly rate. And those players who are getting a higher nightly rate, if you go to the comparable set and compare yourself to your neighbors, if they have 64 reviews and you don't have any or you have 3, you're not really in the same category as them, even though your furnishing is similar, because there's guests that will just book with a well-reviewed host. So you have to work your way up to that. And if it's a brand new listing or you don't have the strongest review base, recommend focus on occupancy first. You may need to be more aggressive with the pricing and do more promotions and short stays and different pricing tactics that will actually entice people to stay even though your listing doesn't have such a strong review base. If you're worried about parties, you need strong screening tools. You could add noise monitors, solid house rules. Just being an overpriced listing isn't going to totally prevent a party from coming to your house, but there's steps you can take to mitigate your house getting destroyed at a low price point. But you really need to focus on occupancy if you want to keep the business growing, especially at the beginning of a short-term rental. So where I've been able to see a lot of success is making more of the listings pet-friendly. People like to travel with pets. Pets are like an extension to our own family. I have a dog just like a member of our own family. So when I travel, I definitely want to be able to take my pet with me. And this is a tip that will save your listing if you're having trouble getting your occupancy numbers up. Just becoming pet friendly, you could charge $150 to $250 as a pet fee. People are happy to pay it to bring their fur babies along with them. And you'll be able to entice a lot more guests who otherwise wouldn't have stayed with you because they were worried that you weren't pet friendly and that they couldn't bring their special pet with them. So if you become pet friendly, you can see an uptick in revenue, especially revenue from the pet fees. It's a really, really great way to get more people in the home. And I suggest you try it out. It doesn't hurt. If you're worried about dog hair all over the sofa, cleaners have very special tools that they use to take out dog hair. And you can clean a house just like a dog was never there. You just have to lay down house rules so they know that the pets should be of a certain breed or not over a certain weight, or they need to be monitored at all times. And you won't have as many issues with pet damage. So a trend that I've seen recently is the summer's gotten super hot. I'm outside in my patio in Orlando, and it's the sun's beaming because we have a south-facing house, and it's too hot to be outside. So I just wonder how people are doing it in the lines of Disney. People are still going to Disney and the new Universal Studios, the Epic Universe Park, but that has to be hell waiting in line in 98-degree weather. We're under a heat advisory. So imagine how that affects travel plans. People might decide they want to go on vacation, but that heat may be keeping them from going outside. So guests want to spend more time indoors, playing games indoors, in the air conditioning, being with their family inside. And it's actually impacting the times that people decide to travel. Now, if you think about it, if we're under heat advisory, you don't want to go to Disney World under those conditions, and you rather wait until September or October when it's actually colder in Florida to actually go and enjoy the parks. So depending on where you live, even in New York City, it's hot right now. And that does affect people's willingness to go on vacation and spend money. So if you're in Florida, Arizona, or other warm spots, you probably notice your summer calendar looks a little light. Yes, the world is getting hotter, and that is having an impact on travel trends. So just be mindful of that. If your summer wasn't as busy as last year, could be not totally because of the heat factor, but the heat factor is definitely at play in why the calendars are looking a little bit lighter than normal. So to get my pricing right, I've been using dynamic pricing tools. I'm not going to endorse one. There's many different use cases for the different tools. You have Price Labs, Beyond Pricing, use Wheelhouse. Depending on what works for you and what interface you like, use any of them. They'll all get the job done. Just make sure that you're willing to invest the time into learning the tool to leverage it to its maximum potential. Because if you just set it and forget it with these tools, it's going to get it wrong. And it may end up hurting you more than helping you, because it may price your rental too high, people stay away from it, or price it too low and you'll leave a lot of money on the table. So you do have to read and learn the tool before you actually implement and apply it. They will try to sell you that, hey, it's really easy. You just get the base rate we recommend and you're good to go. That can't be further from the truth, because if you don't do your own analysis, you're going to leave a lot of money on the table. So you still have to be the operator. You need rules. You need minimum and maximum prices, last minute discounts, seasonal strategies. You still need to do those things. They shine in different ways, these tools, but don't take their suggestions at face value without any guardrails. You'll get super trash results, and I don't want that to happen to you. But if you don't use these pricing tools, you're missing out on 10, 11, 12 hours of saved work a month. And we're too slow to react to market changes every day. Life is busy. We can't do that all the time. If you can pay $10 to $20 a month, come on, it's a no-brainer just to have the tool help you out to save those hours. But you do need to learn the tool or hire someone who knows how to run it. So I still do my own comparable analysis. I compare my listing to my neighbors, not casually, but I do it tactically. I use market data tools. I study comp sets. I look at what homes with the same number of beds and baths are charging, what they are charging, and are they charging that and actually getting booked? I don't want to compare myself to overpriced homes that aren't getting booked, because that's meaningless. I look at real active competition, people who are most like my listing with the same review base as my listing, in the same area, with the same kinds of minimum night stay settings. These pricing tools will help you build this comp set so you can keep an eye and always watch on what the neighbors are doing. Not being nosy, but it's healthy competition, so you can see how you stack up to them and their performance. So when you build a comp set, think about what amenities they have, what's their cancellation policy, do they allow pets, are there photos like mine? All that stuff matters, and you want to build an accurate comp set, or you're going to compare apples to oranges. You don't want to do that, because it's not going to help you when you do your pricing. Next, I want to talk about how Airbnb's algorithm, it's a little different now, and Airbnb is really pushing listings that are more bookable. And what does bookable even mean? Well, bookable is having lower nightly rates, less restrictive cancellation policies, high response times, lots of good reviews, instant booking on, all that good stuff. Some amazing listings are getting buried just because they cost too much, or they have too many restrictions and their cancellation policies punitive to the guests. So you can have tons of reviews, but still be behind a brand new listing that has super cheap pricing because they want to make money. They want to make their service fee, their host fee. And the only way they can do that is if they incentivize as many bookings as possible. So while the game should be fair and justified, they're going to incentivize bookings at all costs. So pricing needs to be right. If the pricing is not right, you will be buried on page 3 or 4. You'll be in the graveyard of the search results, and you don't want that to happen because it will definitely hurt your revenue and your income potential if you're not on page 1 or 2. So here's the action steps. Let's land this plane with some action steps that you can take this week. 1, use a dynamic pricing tool like Wheelhouse, Beyond, Price Labs, whatever works for you, but set the rules, learn that thing, and check it weekly. The second thing, identify orphan gaps in your calendar and apply last minute promos for those dates so you don't leave those weekdays open. 3, lower your minimum nights to allow for 2 or 3 night bookings. 1 night, if you have a big house, it's a bit aggressive and you don't want those parties, but at least 2 night bookings, so you could fill those orphan days up. 4, open your listing up to pets with a pet fee or deposit and you'll increase demand and also revenue from pet fees. 5, review your cancellation policy and make it more flexible if you can stomach it because it's going to help your bookability. 6, compare your prices to real competitors, not just what they're charging, but what's actually getting booked. 7, track how far in advance your guests are booking, then build your pricing strategy around that lead time. 8, and finally, clean up your listing title and photos because Airbnb prioritizes clean scroll-stopping content. That's it for today's episode. Pricing in 2025 is a moving target, but you can still win if you're flexible, data-driven, and willing to evolve. Don't just set your rate and forget it. This is your business, so treat it like one. If this episode helps, share it with a friend. And remember, I drop quick tactical episodes like this every week, so follow the podcast and let's grow together. Now, if you need help with pricing or want a second set of eyes on your listing, I'd be happy to take a look. Just shoot me an email. My email is going to be in the show notes. And let's stay connected. Like my page on Facebook at facebook.com/thejohnandrew. That way I can keep you updated with the latest strategies, market shifts, and insider tips. That link is also in the show notes. Happy hosting, and talk to you next time.